is Elizabeth Saint, and you're listening to Dave and Mike of Odyssey Files, the best paranormal radio show to come out of Minnesota yet.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And good evening, everybody. It is 6 p.m. on Monday night, which means you are listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill, and literally just getting on the line about 10 seconds ago is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soirig. I don't even want to ask you how you're doing today.
That's probably good. I'm doing okay, though. I just was a little busy at work, and then I just kind of basically ran in the house, ran upstairs, and here I am. So,
yeah, like I was already playing the music and whatnot when he came online. So when I say literally 10 seconds, I mean literally 10 seconds.
I would say that's right. Yeah.
But that's fine because you made it.
I did make it. Yeah.
I did not have to do this by myself, which would have been fine, but much rather have a co-host for this episode.
Absolutely.
Which I'm actually kind of excited for it because we have some really, really good questions. This week is just kind of going to be like an all request type deal where people have submitted questions to either Dave or myself, either in our personal lives or online. And we will obviously take them from the chat room if the two people who maybe in there right now are willing to ask some stuff. So Dave, you have my list of questions, but I do not have yours, which freaks me out a little bit because I don't want to seem like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, but that would never happen.
No. And that's kind of how we run best anyway, you know, is we just kind of surprise each other. So, I think that's kind of what's going to happen tonight. I ended up getting about 20 questions or so, but I really whittled it down. Some were kind of duplicate. So I've got what I think are pretty much about 9 pretty solid questions. I mean, I thought a couple of them were really good. So,
All right, well, let's start with one of yours.
Okay. All right. So first question I got, which I found this to be very interesting. If you don't find anything during an investigation, does that mean that the location is not haunted?
Ooh, I do like that one.
That is a good one, isn't it?
Because that, I mean, it's a rarity. Because, I mean, if there's one thing that Dave and I are very, very, like, insistent about is that we always get really good evidence pretty much everywhere we go.
Yeah, we do.
It has happened. It was actually during a second investigation that I did at a place. It was the spur of the moment thing. It was like, we have nothing to do. Why don't we see if we can go investigate this place again? It was a private home and we actually did get nothing. And it was the very first time in, I think it was 5 years by that point that I had never actually gotten any solid evidence whatsoever. So I kind of took that since it was the second one and the first time that we were there, it was off the charts, with the EVPs and the spirit box session and everything that we were doing. I kind of took it that we were successful. You know, we pretty much, we asked them to settle down and to not bother anybody. And, you know, they were true to their word.
Yep. Yep.
Has that ever happened to you, Dave?
No. No, I cannot say that it has. I have been to locations that I know, I just know, you know, that the spot is holding like a secret, like there is something there. And I have had instances, I think, where whatever might be there is kind of hiding from me, you know, like kind of staying away. And in that instance, I think that that could come into play kind of with this question, you know, because I think that the fact that you don't find anything doesn't mean that a location is not active. It just might be that the entity might be kind of standoffish, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Or maybe
or hiding, just, you know?
Yeah, they just don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to you. I mean, they might have some personal issue with you or the way you investigate or maybe how the attitude you had when you came in, you know, because they can, I'm sure they can kind of sense your emotional energy when you're entering the place. And if you're angry or you're pissed off or, you know, you're whatever, looking to be confrontational or whatever, they might sense that and be like, Hey, you know, I'm not interested in that today. I'm just going to hang out over here, you know, and be quiet. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that would be right along my answer to that question. It, you know, shortening it up from the details and whatnot, just, no, if you don't get any activity, you don't get any evidence, it does not mean that the place isn't active or it isn't haunted. It just, you know, I think one of the I don't want to say cliche things that people say is that the spirits they're not active on command.
Correct. Yep.
And I think that's one of the big things that investigators either can't accept or don't understand, is that they don't, you know, if they're an intelligent entity, they make their own decisions. If they're residual energy, they ain't going to interact with you anyways.
Right. Yep.
So speaking of investigations, I got this really, really good one, from Jim. How do you set up investigations? And I think this actually goes back to the show we did with Jerry on, you know, the paranormal investigation part. And I don't think people understand, like, what goes into actually setting up an investigation.
So we're talking like a brand new case from scratch kind of deal?
I would think so. I mean, just, yeah, how would you set it up? I would say in this instance, since there's two different ways, because you have the public historical, you know, event place like Edinburgh, like Farrar,
yep.
Like the Irvine, you know, you have those, and then you have private homes.
Right, two totally different animals. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I think in this one, since most professional teams are here to help private residents, I think we should hit that aspect of it instead of both of them.
Sure. Well, I'll throw a little kind of thing out there and then you can elaborate, you know, on what you do. Basically, a lot of the stuff that we get for a private residence type of investigation is either word of mouth or they contact us through some sort of site that we have advertised on. Most of my stuff comes in word of mouth. People that know me or know what I do, past clients that I've worked with and had success helping them. And that kind of creates the initial contact. And then from there, you know, you're going to basically do a phone interview with the client, potential client, let's just say, and you're going to ask them, you know, a series of questions, find out kind of what's happening. Then you need to ask some questions about them personally, you know, like, you know, what their background is. Are they faith? You know, do they have faith? Do they have, you know, what kind of faith do they follow? You know, have they ever done things like used Ouija boards or, you know, performed, like participated in witchcraft, things like that, things that might lead to a negative type of situation. I like knowing that ahead of time myself before I get involved. Then we do the initial kind of first meeting, which is not an investigation. It's just a meeting at their location. Do a walkthrough, sit down and talk to them, get a feel for what's happening where. And then if everything looks like it's legitimate, and that's an interesting thing because I have a question that kind of relates to this that I'll ask later, but it'll kind of tie back into this. The investigation for us for something like that goes both ways, you know. We certainly are there because we want to help them. figure out what's going on in their house that's making them uncomfortable to be there. But at the same time, we need to make sure that it's not some sort of, you know, I don't want to use the term setup because that makes it sound like, you know, it's like something bad's going to happen on from their human to human interaction, but that it's not faked, you know, where like they're just been watching too many paranormal TV shows and just looking for attention. You know, would you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah, no, I absolutely would. Thankfully, I haven't come across that. I don't think yet. I mean, there's been a couple people that I have talked to that are like, you know, really? it really hasn't gone much further than that. I'm pretty much right there in the same boat as you. You know, they contact me sometimes by word of mouth. I have gotten a few of those. Sorry, I'm being distracted here. Yep. But now I lost my train of thought. So, but yeah, I'm just
gonna
just
yeah. They contact you and
yeah, they contact me usually through the website too. Yep. Have gotten any of those, and I always have to ask them this question: is how did you find us? Yep. Because I've done searches for myself. And like I'm on like page 3 of Google and it's like Twin Cities paranormal teams and I'm like page 3.
Yeah.
And it should
how deep are they going, right?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, how do I move myself up?
Pay a whole bunch of money to Microsoft and Google.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
No.
I almost made that mistake once.
Yeah.
But so yeah, they just contact me. I talk to them. Then I set up like a walkthrough so they can give me a tour of the house so I can talk to them for a while, meet yep. them face to face.
Yep.
And then we set up the investigation. After, you know, we kind of throw out a couple dates, preferably within a couple weeks. But you have to make sure before you set that date that your team is available. And just to make sure that everything that works for the clients also works for your team. Cause without them, you're pretty much nothing.
Yep.
Once that's all done and set up, you know, you're good to go. Now it's just a waiting period. And, Cater in the chat room actually asked some really good follow-up questions for that one. And that is what happens after an investigation. Do the investigators discuss it? Or how do the investigations help the owners of the haunted locations or the spirits themselves? Which I think are very, very good questions.
Yep.
The short answer, we do hours and hours and hours of evidence review. You know, because
especially. Hundreds of hours on a big case, literally. It could be 100 hours. So
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because yep. the thing is that, you know, me especially, I've got, you know, 7 different recorders. If I place all 7 recorders and we have, you know, a five hour investigation, you know, each one of those recorders is 5 hours yep. that we have to listen to. So that's 35 hours right there. Then you have to add in the video. Did you use camcorders when you did it? That's extra time. How much did you do there? For any number of investigations, you're looking at 20 to 40 hours of evidence review.
Oh, bare minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
And then, I've kind of been able to shrink that down for me with my DVR system,
yep.
just because I can, I sync the audio with the video, so I watch them at the same time.
Yep.
Otherwise, there's another 35 hours if you don't do that.
Yep,
absolutely. So once that's done, you get your team together, everyone that was there, and you go over everything. And you, what is good evidence? What is them? Maybe that you mistook them. You have to find everything.
You go back and listen to EVPs and everybody listens to them and you have to come to a general consensus of what it's saying because a lot of times, you know, 2 or 3 different people will hear 2 or 3 different things. And so you have to kind of work your way through it, see how the EVP pertains to the situation. Was it intelligent and answering a specific question that was pertinent? and asked at that time, you know, and stuff like that. And then how does that fit into what the claims are? So all it's all a bunch of little puzzle pieces that have to kind of fit together nicely.
Yes. Yep. And once that's done, we're able to if they're answering your questions, you know, all of our questions is that we ask during the investigation are based on the claims. Mm-hmm. And we mold them to that. If we get responses to those questions, then we are able to ascertain and kind of come to a general consensus of what is going on in this place and then move accordingly.
Correct.
Whether it be a clearing, whether it be, you know, in extreme cases, like a home exorcism,
right.
Just a blessing, you know, whether it's like, yeah, we got evidence that this is your grandpa who's coming to visit you.
Yep.
You know, I have been lucky and I say that with like pure 100% truth. I have been lucky that most of the investigations that I have done as being the director of Odyssey Paranormal Society, I have not had extreme cases. Most of the time, the client is perfectly happy with the spirits being there. They just wanted evidence that there was something going on. They just kind of wanted to know who it was, maybe why they were there. And during the investigation, I'm not only an investigator, I'm the negotiator. I'm the middleman. You know, I'm like, you know, the people here don't mind that you're here. Just leave them alone.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, they listen to me.
Establish some boundaries at the very least, you know. You got to establish boundaries. And a lot of times that's the big thing for us. There are no boundaries established when we get there, you know. And that's kind of what we do. We put those boundaries in place.
Yeah. So, that is how we help everybody, because if the spirits just want to be there, you know, they love the home. I've actually had a medium on my team say that there are a couple spirits in this house because they like the atmosphere. They like the people that live there.
Yep.
They like the party atmosphere that these people had, and that's why they were sticking around. And that was perfectly fine with the clients. You know, they didn't blame them. They're fun people. But that's how, you know, we help the owners and especially the spirits. If the spirits need help and they tell us that, we try to get it to them.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, next one for you, Dave.
I got this one question that kind of fits perfectly with the one we answered prior to this one. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But I'm just going to throw it out there. So, do you take on every case brought to you? And for me, I can say no, I don't. There have been cases that I have turned down just for the simple fact that it looked like a potential case of fraud. And the bigger one for me, and I've only had one case of fraud, I found out afterward that it was a fraudulent case. But there have been a couple of cases, and one of them fairly recently, that I simply decided not to get involved in because and the negative entity was welcomed by the clients to be there. And that creates a big issue for me. You know, you're playing Ouija board, you're doing, or you're black magic and voodoo or lines, and you're trying to inflict harm on other individuals by conjuring up some sort of demon or some sort of entity. Do harm for you, or you get ahead of the world, not by murder, but just by stealing somebody else's love, stealing somebody else's life energy, and then using that for your benefit. And then you want me to come clean it up because now you're tired of it.
Hey, Dave.
No, that's yeah.
The the connection is down. Really bad.
Yeah,
and, it is. You're breaking up almost that entire time.
Okay.
Here's what I want to do. I want to just hang up really quick.
Okay.
And then try to reestablish, make sure just maybe we can get a better connection this time.
Okay. Because you've been phasing up about the whole time, so.
No, I know. I saw that. So what we're going to do now, actually, we're just going to go early and play the commercials and make sure that's done, since I'm told I can do it whenever I want to.
Okay.
So we'll be back in a couple of minutes, hopefully with a better connection and more answers to your questions. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. Be careful. The Yodish
Bar. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator. My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond. Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Great. Jeff.
Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para-X Radio.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we're back. So, and I do not believe that we solved anything of our connection problems. So we're going to have to just kind of go with it. And then we'll hopefully that nothing more will happen. To move on, Jim also asked me this question. How do you respond to people who say they're hunting for ghosts?
Negatively.
I think that's probably there's I know that Taps made the term ghost hunter very, very popular, and yeah. I think a lot of people that want to get in the field think that is the term that they need to use.
Yeah.
And it's not, because yeah, it worked for Taps, even though, you know, in the broad sense of the term, they're not ghost hunters either. They are paranormal investigators.
Yep.
You know, if there was anyone who was ghost hunters, you would put it in the, you know, Zach Bagans and Ghost Adventures.
You know,
they're the ones that are being these aggressive, and they're going hunting.
Yep.
And there's actually a great meme that I actually have on my desktop, and I look at it every once in a while, and I just laugh. And, you know, it's of, you know, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Gene Wilder. You know, yep. I'm sure a lot of people have seen all the different times that use that one photo. And It says, "Oh, you're a ghost hunter? Tell me about all the ghosts you have mounted on your wall."
There you go.
And I think that's probably the most perfect response to people who say they're hunting for ghosts, because they're not. You know, if they want to go and act like fools in the dark and, you know, try to stir up something that they don't understand, have at it.
Don't call me to come allow, help you, though.
Yeah, no. I will be the one kicking you in the balls and then, like, throwing you out the door. Yeah. I do not.
But I'm not going to participate, so.
I wouldn't either. I just wanted to make it so there was no gray area.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Would he like that or would he not like? No, I won't.
No.
So, yeah, when people say, you know, come with us and let's go ghost hunting, I'm like, no.
Run away.
Any time people know what I do for, you know, a hobby, that I'm a director of a team, and they're like, yeah, he goes ghost hunting. I go, nope, I go paranormal investigate.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people at work like to get a rise out of me because they'll intentionally call me a ghost hunter, knowing that it'll, you know, just
well, annoy you.
Yes, I was going to say irritate or piss me off, but yes, it will annoy me. And I do not wait 2 seconds before I'm like, paranormal investigator, not ghost hunter. Oh, yep, sorry. Yeah, I knew it.
and you know what? And I'm just going to throw this out there so that people understand. So if Mike and I, for any reason, are tripping over each other on audio today, that's because I'm looking at Michael O'Neill's name on my Skype screen, but I cannot see Mike at this time. So we're just kind of feeding off each other during pauses. So just in case we talk at the same time, just bear with us. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. So
yes. Thank you, Skype.
Yeah, we're doing our best. But we're a little trouble. So,
in order for the connection not to be awful for audio, I just shut off my video. It you know, it saves the broadband and broad width and whatnot. So hopefully, you know, Dave will come through the entire episode. Dave doesn't need to see me. He unfortunately, you know, has seen me plenty of times.
I've seen you enough. Yep.
Yes, exactly. Which probably hit that threshold like 6 years ago for enough times seeing me.
Come on. No.
just trying to give you an out, Dave. That's all.
It was more like 7.
we haven't known each other for 7.
All right. Where are we at? Let's get back to what we were talking about here. Cause we're like 6:30 already here. We're not quite, but, who's up? I'm up, right?
You're up.
Yeah. Cause I got some good ones here. I want to make sure we get to them. So, and I know that some of the people I work with are listening tonight. So, okay, so this kind of goes hand in hand, so I'm going to put this out there together, okay, Mike, and you can answer.
Sure.
And this is going to be a good one for us to talk about. So it's kind of a two-part question, so let me finish the whole thing first. So the first part is, do you post all of the evidence that you catch on your investigations, okay? And the second part of that is, do you share with the homeowner all of the evidence that you caught, no matter what it was?
Okay, you want me to go first?
Sure, yep.
Okay. No and no. Okay.
There you go.
There are reasons why. Not because, you know, I'm fearful of the reaction or anything like that, but, you know, everybody has heard the term, if you follow the paranormal, watched any show ever, you've heard the term Class A EVP, you know, so we have adopted, whatever, kind of the grading scale. And obviously Class A's, not a problem. They are the best ones that you can get. They can't get any clearer. Then there's B, C's, D's. And my God, you know, why did you even show this to me?
Yes.
Being the bottom one.
Yeah.
When it comes to the website, if it's just a whisper, if it's something that, you know, yeah, you can kind of tell that it's there, but you can't really make out anything that it's saying. I do not post that because it just does not come over very well. And so I post the best of the best. Video, I think I post everything. Maybe if I get to like orb 5, I might like not, but when it comes to the audio evidence, I just post the best of the best. Usually it's about 7 or 8. Maybe if there's like some like really, really good pieces in the SB11 session, I'll go up to 12. You know, I'll post as much as I can, but I have to know that it's actually going to be heard. And over the internet, if you're listening to it while streaming or not, it doesn't really come across. Same with homeowners. If it's just a whisper, you know, if I've got 5 class A's and 3 class B's and then 20 class C's, I'm just going to go with the A's and the B's.
Yep.
Now,
especially if that's, and especially if the answers that you're looking for are contained within those A's and B's.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Now to the second part of, do I show this to the client no matter what? Yes. I think it is our responsibility. As investigators, I mean, we were called in to find out what is in their home. If we come in, find out what is in their home, and then hold that from them, we're not doing our job. We don't want to show them that thing. Like, you know, who wants to hear an EVP of, you know, somebody saying that they want the mom to die or that they're going to kill somebody?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to show them that. But we have to. They have to know what is going on.
Right. And I mean, and perfect example of that is we caught an EVP once that said, peel his flesh and feed him to the goat. And, that was a private investigation in home. And I'm like, okay, all right, time out. You know, what am I supposed to say when I present that to the homeowner? You know, and what's the reaction going to be? And so I totally agree with you. That I always share everything, but I will say this. There have been pieces of evidence that I have not shared during the initial reveal until I could kind of substantiate what they meant, because I think hearing something like that or some other type of negative, you know, thing, like maybe a demonic name, might immediately lead the homeowner to bypass everything that you just discussed with them and say, oh my God, such and such a demon is in my house. We're doomed. So I think that you have to, I think that's kind of a cautious thing. And that's why I thought that was a really good question. So I'm sure that whether teams want to admit it or not, I'm sure that there have been pieces of evidence that they've sat on maybe, and not that they didn't reveal it, because I have always revealed it. I've always revealed all of the data and all of the stuff that I've caught, but not necessarily all at once where I bombarded them with a ton of negativity, knowing that we're human beings and knowing that it's really hard when you're already scared to digest an absolute ton of negative things that just reaffirm what you're already scared about to be in your own home.
Yep, I can agree with that.
Yeah, and I know some people will probably scoff at that and say, well, that you're not doing your job, and da-da-da-da-da. You know what? I would totally disagree with that, and I'll stand by my decision until the day I die. They do eventually find out what's going on, but we're all human beings. We don't need to go in there and make their lives worse. Then you're not helping them. That's my take on it. So.
No, I agree. And I think it'd be a lot easier. I shouldn't even say easier, but that's probably the best term for it. A lot easier to present it to them if you had a solid solution.
Correct.
If you were able to go to them and say, I have all of this really bad EVP evidence of what is in your home, but I know how we can defeat it. We can get this out of your home. I think it'd be a hell of a lot easier for them to take.
Yep.
If you were able to, you know, it's almost like what's that thing? I'm not a drinker, so I don't know. But the chaser.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yep.
If you could chase it with.
So if you got with, like a Bloody we have Mary, the solution. You got a beer back. Yep. Exactly.
Yes. If you could chase it with a solution.
Yes.
I think they can take it.
Yes, and that's exactly. Yep. You hit it right on the head there, because that's exactly where I was kind of leading that path to is. If it's really something dark like that and it really, really is negative, and I really feel it, or I saw the entity when we were there, like it actually manifested itself and showed us what it is, and then we got EVPs and or disembodied voices or object manipulation, or we're getting stuff thrown at us, you know, scratched, attacked, stuff like that. I would not show that evidence until I came back in with, let's say, a priest, you know, and I would say, and then I would sit down and do the reveal with, you know, a man of the cloth right there with us, so that he could immediately bring peace and take away a lot of that scariness, you know, a lot of the, especially if there's kids involved, you know, too. I mean, there's so many factors. I mean, we could talk about that one topic probably for a whole hour, you know, but, you know, especially with me, I mean, you know, if there's a kid involved, I mean, I'm going in with guns blazing and, you know, putting myself in harm's way all the time. And I've done it for years and years and years and years. And, but that's the only time. And so I always do share all of the data. I just don't always necessarily provide it to them immediately upon me discovering it, I guess is the bottom line there. So.
Right. Okay. So we're going to skip, or no, I shouldn't say skip, but we're going to move to more of the scientific part. I have a guy at work that I talk to about the show and about the paranormal all the time, and he's very, very scientific bound, skeptic, you know, and whatnot.
Love skeptics.
I actually have two questions that I want to get to from his. What are some of the more common pieces of equipment used in an investigation, and what do they show and what information do they give you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go first because I only really use about three pieces of equipment. So, and then you're going to have to curtail yours down and kind of figure out what you want to talk about, because you got like 9,000 pieces of equipment. So, all right. So for me, my biggest piece of equipment is my digital recorder. That catches electronic voice that voices that are in a spectrum where we cannot audibly hear it with our own ears at the time that it's happening. So we use that recorder, we capture that voice, and then we go back and we listen to it in a computer program, and we're able to hear responses of that. The second biggest piece of equipment I personally have that I use would be a digital camera. Allows me to potentially catch any type of shadow figure or shadow entity, or you know, God forbid, one of these days. Well, I shouldn't even say that because I already have one. But you know, the holy grail of like an actual entity has manifested itself for that brief second in time, maybe because you asked it to, or maybe just because it was challenging you, and so it garnered up a ton of energy and decided to show itself to you as in a challenging type of way. I'm sorry about that. But those are really my two pieces of equipment that I use. And then obviously my common sense and my just kind of experience and senses that I possess. So with that, Mike, you have the next 48 hours to discuss your equipment.
I'm going to agree with everything that you just said.
Yeah.
Sorry, obviously the recorders, or I wouldn't have like seven of them.
Yep.
The K2 and the millimeter or / you know, EMF detector, I think those are probably the two most common pieces of equipment, besides obviously the camera and the camcorder and the recorder, digital recorder, only because they allow you to see the energy. They allow you to see a spike where there shouldn't be one. They also allow you to find natural causes for things. You know, you take them around the house. If you can find something in the walls, maybe unshielded wiring, that can have an effect. You know, the fear cage effect, where you know, you feel watched. You know, the paranoia, nausea, hallucinations. If it's extreme enough, it can cause all of this stuff. And if you can find a natural place in a natural explanation for why these feelings are occurring, I mean, you might have been able to just throw out half the claims right there. I mean, everybody is, it's almost a cliche now that everybody's scared of their basement.
Yeah.
And, everybody always feels watched when they're doing their laundry in the dank basement, and that is the place where, the power box is, the fuse box. And if that's unshielded, that is putting out a massive amount of energy.
All your wiring is running in the ceiling on the joists.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And if you have a bad electrician or, you just didn't do it right, maybe you wanted to do it yourself and you did it wrong. That can cause all kinds of claims that shouldn't be there. We always feel watched in the basement. Well, there might be a natural explanation for that. Obviously, if we go in and we find nothing, there's no EMF, your wiring is perfect, well, then there might be a paranormal explanation to that.
Yep.
I had a case recently where found absolutely nothing except for on one wall. The millimeter and the K2 were all at zero, never went off once. We put up against this wall and it went up to like 20. I mean, and that's bad. That's a lot of EMF. And, it kind of turned out that whoever installed this switch or whatever just did it wrong. And it was putting out a lot of EMF. I don't think it really had anything to do with the paranormal that was going on in this place. But it's also something you can bring to the homeowner's attention. I mean, that stuff can cause fires.
Yep.
And, you might have just saved their lives by pointing out that this wiring was bad.
Yep. And if you're hypersensitive to EMFs, that can cause things like hallucinations and skin rashes and disorientation.
Exactly.
So, yep.
That's the plus, if you're in the middle of the room and you have your device staying absolutely still and it's 0.0 and all of a sudden it spikes to 2 without any, you might be in the presence of, this phantom energy. It's really good for that aspect of things, of just being able to kind of get a scientific glimpse of what's around you energy wise. So to kind of go on that question line, he said, how close are we able to prove that there are paranormal things beyond our current understanding? And to further the context of, he said, there are many theories on both sides of this argument from many different backgrounds. Using the scientific methods, are we getting any closer to proving the existence of the paranormal?
Well, I can tell you right now, but I would have to ask, what exactly is the definition of scientific methods before I could even start to answer that question?
I would think that using the equipment.
Okay.
Using EMFs, using stuff that science has brought to us.
Okay, so technology, so science being the technology that individuals like electrical engineers have created that allow us to be able to visualize things that are odd
or
that
audio.
Are happening in the house or audio. Okay. Well, my answer to that would be I've already proved it. I guess proved it to where everybody in the world is going to believe me. Absolutely not. There's always going to be skeptics. There's people that are never going to, a lot of people with scientific backgrounds, a lot of people that have scientific backgrounds, okay, if they can't put a test in a room and have it be repeatable, 100 times, and it's going to do the exact same thing 100 times, then it's not a legitimate type of test. And because we're dealing with, for the most part, what we believe to be human beings that are still with us, but have passed away from what we understand, like what we are right now, currently, with this bone and flesh and organ and tissue and stuff, they're still human beings. you know, my personal beliefs are what has left them is their soul. It's their energy, and energy never dies. So that energy that's in the human body, in your brain, your heart, your functions, things that are happening, that energy leaves the dead tissue and stuff behind when the body dies, but that energy doesn't die. And so that energy becomes, you know, what I'm going to call your soul. And so I think that your knowledge, who you are, your personality, your experiences, good and bad, travel with you. And you can't make that repeatable. I mean, how could you put that in a test lab and make that repeatable 100 times? You can't. So there's never going to be 100% conclusiveness to, can we prove 100% that the paranormal exists? No. But can I prove the paranormal exists to myself and to people that I know and to fellow investigators and to clients that I've had? Yes, absolutely. 100% I have.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I take a little different stance from that, even though, you know, I agree with everything that you said. I mean, I do think that from when I started doing this nearly 7 years ago to now, the technology available is unreal compared to, you know, back when I started, it was the K2 and the Melmeter. That was it. You know, spirit boxes were just coming into the, now we got SB11s, we have, periscopes, and we have FLIRs. I mean, you know, FLIRs existed for years, but, you know, they weren't that accessible because they were $30,000 for a decent one.
And they weren't used for paranormal investigation. They were used to look for, like, leaks, yeah, you know, cold air leaks around your windows, yeah, and fire departments and stuff. So, yeah, they weren't even a tool for looking for, you know, ghosts or
exactly
entities. So, yeah.
I think, and my hesitation stops upon, are we close? I do not know. I don't know where the veil is and how close we are to it. But I do think that in time, I think science will merge and will give us that extra boost that will allow us to do what we are trying to do every investigation, which is reach beyond that veil or help them reach back. I don't know which one I would like. I think I would like to reach in as opposed to them coming here.
Yep.
Just because,
because
this is
our plane.
I'm with
you on that one. Yeah. Yep.
Because this is our plane.
Yeah. This is our space. You're not welcome anymore. You already had your opportunity. And, but it'd be cool if we could punch into your plane just temporarily and say hi and then kind of like leave and be left alone. Yeah.
So Cater asked this question in the chat room. I'm going to answer with one word. I think you'll answer with one word. His question was, have we ever been too scared during an investigation to continue with it?
Ready? 1, 2, 3, no.
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 Nope. And I've been in some, I have been in some nasty situations, and the answer is no.
Yeah. You know, the thing that, I watch these shows, especially like Haunted Case Files that just came out, which I was really, really happy to see that finally somebody was doing a show about actual paranormal teams and in their cases and their worst cases actually. But it shocked me how many times the people are like, oh, this is getting too intense, we need to leave, and then they leave.
No,
I mean, these are like private homes, they're their clients, and they're just like, nope, too dangerous, we have to leave.
No.
Well, what did you think going into it is my question. I mean, this is the paranormal. I mean, yeah, can't accept the risk that it at one point in time and maybe many points in time is probably going to mess you up.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't be doing it. It's not, I understand being safe. I'm a huge safety guy.
Yep. You are.
But leave the leave the house for 20 minutes, collect yourself, come back in.
Yep.
And we are there to do a job, and we are there to help people. We're not there to just be like, oh nope, you guys are screwed, and then leave.
And what are you doing? You know, honestly, and I haven't seen that show, but honest to God, what are you doing to the homeowner, by going in there and having these, I haven't seen the show, so I don't know if they got confrontational or if I don't know if, whatever, you know, but they stirred the pot, so to speak, and then they're just going to leave, and the homeowner's already terrified as it is. That's why they called you in the first place. So what the hell did you just accomplish?
Yep. Agreed. You
know, horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. No, Mike and I have never walked out of an investigation, and no, we never will.
Yep.
And that includes putting ourselves in harm's way to make sure that nobody else gets hurt.
Absolutely. All right, Dave. One more question each, I think, will be pretty good.
All right. Do I got to pick out of my list here? Is it my turn?
Yeah. Yep, your turn.
Great. Okay, well, why don't you just hum or whistle or something for about 10 seconds and let me look at my list.
if you want, I can...
Well, no, here, I'll tell you what. I got three. I'm going to throw three out, and you tell me which one you want to do, okay?
Sure.
So I got three left that I like. So number one, how does a place become haunted? Number two, can animals sense or detect things that we as human beings cannot see? Number three, do spirits only come out at night? And if so, why? So out of those three questions, you pick which one we want to talk about.
Let's go to the last one. Do spirits only come out at night?
Okay. All right. I like that one too. I like all three of those. That's why. And I got more than that. That's just the three that kind of like I liked. So.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The short answer is no. Right. There are tons and tons and tons of cases where, you know, the housewife walked up the stairs with a load of laundry in the middle of the day and turned around and there was a full-bodied apparition, you know, just staring at her.
Yep.
I think that the paranormal, just because of the cliche of it and the fact that all the shows are done at night, you know, I've really only investigated it and I had to walk throughs during the day, but I've only investigated at night. I think they're stronger at night. A lot of people think that it has something to do with the gravitational pull of the moon, that it helps them kind of focus their energy, so they can be more active at night. But regardless of whether it's night or day, if they have the energy, they can do whatever they want.
Yep. I would agree with that 100%. And I don't have anything to add.
Oh, okay. Good talk.
Yeah. No. Well, I agree with you. You know, no, I have had paranormal experiences myself during the daytime. I've had things happen during walkthroughs, like in the evening, or even I had one in the morning. That picture that I took that you love, that was during the day. It was like 5 o'clock at night in the middle of the summer. You know, so I mean, it was it definitely is not only at night. There's activity all the time. So.
Yep. Okay. So we have about 7 minutes left
before
we have to pass this on to Mr. Gesso and the Paracave. So I think we're going to finish with just kind of a fluff question. Anyone in the paranormal business gets asked this question all the time. And that is, and I think we could do a top five, but dream places to investigate. Why don't you go ahead? I already know my five.
Jeez, I don't even know if I have five. Okay. So really? I do, but I mean, you're throwing me, you know.
You want me to go first?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. So top five, I'm going to say Waverly, although not as much now. That they, from what I've seen, and I don't know this to be 100%, so don't throw a bunch of hate mail at us, but I would like to have done Waverly before they started to commercialize the place with this whole condominium small business plan idea, because I think that's a horrible idea. But still, Waverly. Eastern State Penitentiary. Would absolutely love there. I've seen a lot of evidence come out of Eastern State. I would have no intention whatsoever of going there and trying to pass anybody on or resolve anything. I would just like to go to Eastern State Penitentiary and just experience it for myself. Preston Castle out in California. I would like to go to Preston Castle. I've seen a couple different shows that have gone out there. I've done research on the place. It's just there's just something about it that kind of draws me in. So I would like to do that. And I know I'm going to screw this one up, Mike, so you're going to have to help me because you know the answer and I always get it wrong. But what's the name of the castle in England that I want to go to?
Chillingham?
Yeah, there you go. Chillingham. Yep. So Chillingham Castle. I would like to go there. That's supposed to be one of the most haunted places in the world. So I would definitely like to see that. I would like to go experience it. Again, not trying to resolve anything in that situation. I would just like to go there and just communicate openly with whatever is there, because that the history of that place goes back so far that I'm mentally intrigued to just maybe talk to somebody from like the 15th century or 16th century, or, you know, I just think that would be extremely cool. That's four. Boy, I know. All right. So I'm going to end mine with a place that I'm never going to investigate. So this is on the anti-investigation list, and it's my number one place, and I'm never going. And that's Bobby Mackey's.
Yep. As you said, I'm never going there. I knew what you were talking about.
Yep, never going there. So I'm gonna do four yays and one nay.
That's so fine. Way to be a rebel, Dave.
I'm thinking outside the box.
I have to say, not in any particular order. Although I think number one is going to be just number one. But the Winchester Mansion out in California. Myrtle's Plantation down in Louisiana, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Ooh, yeah. Darkness.
Number two is definitely, this was my number one, but I have another one that I want more. Number two, Waverly Hills, just same as Dave. And number one, Island of the Dolls.
Ooh. All right. I rescind one of mine and I'm putting in the Island of the Dolls. I totally forgot about that place.
If anybody creepy doesn't know hell. what Island of the Dolls is,
oh my god!
I highly suggest in a lighted room looking it up on Google.
Okay, I'm taking out Preston Castle and I'm putting in Island of the Dolls.
I like that you did an analysis of your list. And
I did.
What can I take out? What can I put back
out,
in?
I'm taking out Preston Castle and put that number six. I'm putting Island of the Dolls second. Well, maybe for
second.
I'm going to say Chillingham. Chillingham to me.
Chillingham's still first? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Island of the Dolls is second. And then obviously Waverly, that's been on our bucket list together for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eastern State, we've talked about. I totally agree with the other ones too. Trans-Allegheny's right there, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So our first ever request hour from the fans of the show and of our lives, I guess. is coming to a close. Thank everybody who submitted questions, and I think that this is something that we will do again.
I really liked it
very much so. So with 1 minute left, as per always, if you guys, you know, ever have a question of your own, or you want to get in touch with either Dave and I, you can find both of us on Odyssey Files Radio. On Facebook. My team page, Odyssey Paranormal Society on Facebook, or odysseyparanormalsociety.com. All of that. You can find us there any time of the day. I know I'm always up for responding. I'm usually pretty quick, and I can always get a hold of Dave.
And what is that?
That just means that they're contact me and they also want to talk to you.
Right. I care about everybody. I just am not available as frequently as Mike is. That's all.
Yeah. I'm a little bit busy. A life and I do not.
Yeah. Yes.
So with that said, this Monday night is coming to a close for us. I want to wish everybody a very good night, and we will see you next week.
Next week.
Have a good night.